You're listening to the Presence Pioneers podcast. In 2018, over half of Americans reported that no one really knew them well. And this is pre-COVID, or since that time, it's only gotten worse. There's what some people are calling a loneliness epidemic. Worse than any time before, Americans are struggling to cultivate deep and meaningful relationships. 22% of millennials have self-reported that they have, quote, no friends. This is crazy. Our ability to have close and intimate relationships is harder than ever. And I believe God wants a close and deep, intimate relationship with us. And so how do we figure out how to have intimacy with God? How do we help others experience intimacy with God in a culture and in an environment where we don't know how to have close, healthy, intimate relationships with one another? Marriage rates are plummeting. One in four 40-year-olds in America, one in four 40-year-olds have never been married. This is unprecedented in U.S. history. 17.8 million children around the world, this is one in four, grow up without a biological step or adoptive father in the home. So we don't know what it's like to have friends. We don't know what it's like to have a close marriage partner. We don't know what it's like to have a father around that loves us. So many of us struggle. And yet, these are the relationships God compares in the Bible to the relationship he wants to have with us. He wants to be our father. He wants to be our friend. And he calls himself a bridegroom in his church, his people, the bride. And so this is what we're going to be talking about on the podcast today, is intimacy with God. And specifically, we're going to be looking at David's prayer in Psalm 27:4, which I believe was his heart's cry for intimacy with God. And we're going to be looking at the three dimensions, the three cries within that one cry that David had, and see what that might mean for us, because we, so many of us and others, we don't have, again, an example to go to for experiencing a deep relationship. So we've got to look at the scriptures and get back to the basics and say, what does the Bible say about how we should relate to God? And I want to welcome you into the podcast today. If it's your first time tuning in, thank you for joining us. We want to help you experience and host God's presence, because we believe God's presence changes everything. So be sure to hit follow and subscribe and stay tuned with us. If you're already a part of the podcast community, thanks again for jumping in, being a part of this. Thank you for following, sharing, liking, commenting, rating, reviewing, all the things on all the platforms. You know what they are. Please engage. Please participate. Give us your feedback. Leave us a comment on Substack and let us know what you think of the podcast, what you think of each episode. We love interacting and engaging with you all and having you be in this community so that we can all experience more of God's presence together. So let's dive into understanding intimacy with God here. And I want to say right up front, as we talk about intimacy with God and an intimate relationship with God, some people kind of get weird about the terminology there. When we say intimacy with God, we're not talking about anything sensual, okay? What we're talking about is a spiritual intimacy in our hearts where God has made himself known to us and we have made ourselves known to him. There's an openness, there's a disclosure of our emotions and our souls and our minds and the core of who we are, that we've gotten real and raw and honest, and that God has opened himself up to us, and therefore we have that deep connection, that intimacy. Some people have said that intimacy could be called into me you see, because it's when we open ourselves up and make ourselves vulnerable, and God's inviting us to do that with him. And of course, God already knows everything, but there's a difference between him knowing and between us actually opening our hearts to him, right? And that's what he wants, because he can know what's in our hearts, but he wants us to share that with him so that he can have that close relationship with us. That's what he has in his heart for us as a good father. And I think David's prayer in Psalm 27:4 is one of the greatest prayers of intimacy that we can pray. David, I think, is one of the models of those who had a close, personal, intimate relationship with God. The way he expresses his emotions in the Psalms and in his life, he connected with God on a heart level in a unique way, such that he was called a man after God's own heart. And I think Psalm 27:4 is one of the most important verses of David's heart. Here's what it says. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So David said this is his quote unquote one thing. So that means for David, this was his chief desire. This was his primary longing in his heart. This was the one thing he wanted, to be with God, to be in his presence, to see his beauty, to have relationship, conversation with him. Call it prayer, call it worship, call it connection, call it intimacy with the Lord. Now, it's important when we say that this was David's one thing, it was his priority, and our relationship with God should be our priority. But in saying it's the one thing, it doesn't mean it's literally the only thing David did. David did not just sit around singing songs and just kind of in ecstasy all day. He had a real life. He was the king of a real nation. He oversaw a government and all the economics and all the military and all the responsibility that went with that. He had a family. And so David had a lot of things that he had to do. But when David says it's his one thing, what he means is that it's the first thing, not that it's the only thing. So David's one thing is his first thing. It's the top priority. And he knew if he got that one thing right, it would bleed over into all the rest of his life. It would fuel everything else that he had to do. And so this is an important psalm for David. He says, this is the one thing I desire. And then he goes on and he lists three things, which I love. I've always loved that. He said, there's one thing I want. And then he said, there's three things. And I feel like that's a little nod to the Trinity there, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, that we serve one God who's three persons. And David said, there's one thing I want, and that one thing is actually three things. And you see, even in the New Testament, you see sort of echoes of this psalm of David. And so before we get into those three things that are the one thing, which I want to dive into more deeply, I want to mention a few other times that I think this prayer of David, this one thing prayer, was probably referenced in the New Testament. The first one is in Luke chapter 10. You guys are probably familiar with this story of Mary and Martha, but Martha is busy working, trying to prepare the food for Jesus and their guest, and Mary is not doing that work. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teachings and to his stories. And Jesus actually rebukes Martha when Martha gets upset at Mary, and says that what Mary has done is the better part, and says that what she has done is the one thing that's necessary, or the one thing that's needed. And I have to think that Jesus, in this moment, seeing Mary sit at his feet, you know, listening attentively to his teaching, to his word, soaking it in, gazing upon him, giving him her attention, he has to be thinking about David. And the devotion that Mary had triggered that thought of the devotion that David had. And so he uses that little one thing phrase, I think, as a throwback to Psalm 27:4, that just as David said there's one thing he wanted, Mary had that same one thing heart to know him, to really know him and to be close to him and to hear his word and to hear his voice. The other time I think this psalm might be hinted at in the New Testament is actually in Jesus's prayer in John 17, which we've talked about a lot of times on this podcast. This is the longest prayer of Jesus. But that verse 24, which is one of my favorite verses in that prayer, is when Jesus talks about, Father, I desire that they would be with me where I am. And it seems to be a little bit of a mirror between David's prayer and Jesus's prayer. Because David says, there's one thing I have desired. And Jesus said, Father, I desire. David prayed that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Jesus prayed that they may be with me where I am. Okay, so this idea of dwelling or being with you in the same place, this idea of desire they both had. And then also Jesus says that they would behold my glory. This is his prayer, that they would behold my glory. And David prayed that he would behold the beauty of the Lord. So then you have this idea of beholding him and being with him where he is and that desire for those things. And so I think really what we see here is this is what Jesus desires, that we would be with him, that we would behold his glory, his beauty. And if this is what Jesus desires, then when David prays for this, what he's really doing is he's aligning himself with the original desire that was in the heart of God. So David's prayer is really Jesus's prayer, that he hadn't prayed as a man yet or been recorded in history, but it was already in the heart of God. This has always been God's desire, that we would dwell with him, that we would be in his presence, that we would know his love, we would see him as he really is, and be in intimate, voluntary, loving partnership with him forever. This is why he made us. We were made for love. We were made for God. We were made for intimacy with the Lord. And David tapped into that, and Jesus just put his stamp on it in John 17:24. Now, let's get into these three things that David prayed for, and I think they're going to be helpful for us in cultivating intimacy with God and also helping lead others into a deeper place with God as well. And his first prayer is that he could dwell in the house of the Lord. And again, those three are dwell, gaze, and inquire. Those are his prayers, that I would dwell, that I would gaze, and that I would inquire. To dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in the temple of the Lord. Those were the three prayers that David prayed. And his first one was to dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, Psalm 27, where this verse comes from, no one quite knows exactly when David wrote it. It's not clear. Some people think that maybe it was when he was fleeing from Saul before he became king. And then some have proposed, and I kind of like this idea, that David wrote Psalm 27 during his son Absalom's rebellion. Hey guys, this is Matthew. We'll get back to the episode in just a moment. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider joining Presence Pioneers Premium, our brand new subscriber community. Paid subscribers will get exclusive premium content such as bonus podcast episodes, exclusive articles, early releases, and more. Presence Pioneers will be releasing its first e-course in 2024, with many more to come. And the Presence Pioneers premium subscribers will always have full access to the entire library of online courses. Visit media.presencepioneers.org or click the link in the description to join today. You can become a premium member today for an introductory price of only $5 a month. When the price goes up in the future, as our library of resources grows, you can stay subscribed at the original price. If you've enjoyed our podcast for a while, becoming a premium member is a simple way for you to help us cover the cost of producing this podcast and partner with Presence Pioneers in equipping the church with resources for day and night prayer, prophetic worship, missions, and revival. Visit media.presencepioneers.org to sign up today. And if you're not familiar with the history and the story, David had set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. He had established his tent of worship. He was having a successful reign as king. There was justice and victory and peace. And his son Absalom rebelled. And this is really the only time David was forced out of Jerusalem during his 33-year reign there. And this would have been the only time that David was separated from the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle that he had set up in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. And I wrote a whole book about that tabernacle, David's tabernacle, the tent of David, where for 33 years there was day and night prophetic, creative worship and prayer, constant ministry to the Lord, praise, prophecy, thanksgiving, rejoicing, and that glory and presence of God really rested there on the ark and in their city and in their nation in a powerful way during David's reign. And so David, it's possible that he was writing this, Psalm 27, which is really about a tumultuous time. It's possible he wrote this the only time that he had been separated from the tabernacle of David. He could have been on the run. And so to me, that puts a whole new spin on his prayer and his cry here, that he says, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord, because he had gotten a taste of glory in Jerusalem. He had gotten a taste of the habitation of the manifest presence of God in his midst. He had gotten used to the ability to go right up to the ark and to minister to the Lord there. And he was potentially praying, crying in this prayer, this is the one thing I want. I want to get back to your presence. I want to dwell there. I want to be able to be in your presence and in your glory. The very next verse, Psalm 27, 5, he says, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. So I think David's like working out, processing here, which he does a lot in his songs. He's like working out, processing what's going on in his heart. He's saying, oh, I really want to dwell in the house of the Lord. But even right now, in the day of trouble, when he's writing this, he will conceal me under his tent and he will hide me in his shelter. What's David saying? Well, I think part of what he's saying is that even though he couldn't be in Jerusalem in that moment, in the glory of God like he wanted, whether that was because it hadn't happened yet or because he had had to flee during Absalom's reign, either way, there's a disconnect, but David's coming to the realization of the presence of God with him all the time. And so I think part of how we dwell in the house of the Lord is we realize, especially now as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, that we can dwell with God at any moment, any time of day. We don't have to go to a physical tent. We don't have to go to a specific church or to a place to dwell in the house of the Lord. We have become the house of the Lord. And as we gather with our brothers and sisters anywhere, God manifests his presence among us. And so part of dwelling, I think, is just becoming aware of the abiding presence of God with us, that we can be with him at any time. We don't have to go in and out. We can have him in us all the time, and we do have him in us, and we can just become aware of that. And David himself is the one who said in Psalm 139, 7 and 8, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. So David was tapping into the same idea, this idea that God is with us, his spirit is with us. And so David can go, hey, I'm going to be under the tent even when I'm not really under the tent. I can hide in his shelter even though I may not be in Zion like I want to be. I'm not in Jerusalem like I would really desire. That would be my ultimate craving. But even now, he's hiding me in his tent. Even now, his spirit is with me. His presence is with me. And so that's part of what it means to dwell in the Lord's house. And the other aspect, I think, of dwelling in the Lord's house is just making ourselves at home in the presence of God, that we become familiar with his presence and with his spirit, and we learn to host his presence. We learn to honor his presence. We learn the sensitivity of his spirit, which is like a dove. And so I think part of that is like taking the time to be with God. If you're going to dwell somewhere, it means you're going to stay somewhere. It's your home. It's where you're going to live, which means that's where you're going to be spending most of your time, right? That's your home base. You always come back to that place that you dwell. And I think that was true for David, and it should be true for us, that the presence of God is our home base. And we learn to wait on him. We learn to spend time with Him. That's how we cultivate intimacy with Him. And so God's inviting us into His presence, into the secret place, to come away with Him, to linger with Him, to worship Him, to minister to Him, to spend time with Him, to not rush through and get on to the next thing and to move on to the next thing in our life and the next part of the church service, whether that's, you know, us individually or corporately in a group setting. Like, man, when the presence of God comes, what if we lingered? What if we learned to wait on Him? And when He came, we didn't just move on and say, wow, I had a great moment, but we said, thank you, God. I want more. I'm going to stay here with you in this glory. I'm going to rest here and linger in your presence. And I think that's what God's desiring for us, is that we become familiar, not in a way where we don't honor it and aren't grateful and we're not wowed by His presence anymore, but that it becomes familiar to us because we've spent so much time with Him that we really know Him. And it's comfortable because He's our Father and He's our friend and He's our bridegroom. And where else would we be but in His presence, of course. And I think about Joshua. There's this verse, Exodus 31:11. It says, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again to the camp, his assistant Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. I love that. It's like Moses was lingering with God as a friend. Joshua was his apprentice. Moses moved on to the next thing, and Joshua stayed. He lingered. He would not depart from the tent. And I think that's what God's inviting us to, is to not depart from the tent of His presence, but to learn how to linger with Him in a secret place, spend more time. I mean, it takes time. Relationships take time. Intimacy takes time, right? There's quantity and quality to intimacy with God. There's the quality of our hearts being open to Him, right? We don't want just religiosity and checklist prayers and Bible reading time. But there's also quantity. Like, if we don't actually take the time to spend with God and we're not giving Him, you know, maybe more time than would be convenient, then are we really experiencing all that He desires for us? Do we really know Him in the way that He desires and that probably we desire, whether we realize it or not? We have to learn how to dwell with Him, and that just takes time. So I hope this has been helpful to you. We're going to talk about the other facets of this prayer, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of the Lord in His temple. But we're going to do those in part two of this podcast episode. So if you want to continue with the second half of this teaching, and as we keep walking through Psalm 27:4, you can do that by being a paid subscriber to Presence Pioneers Media. And we'll have the link in the show notes and in the description so you can do that. It's either small monthly fee or an annual fee at a discount. And then you can get access to all of the bonus podcast episodes, access to online courses and other free resources and articles and perks that come with that, just to resource you more. And we're grateful to those of you who are premium paid subscribers, because you and our Presence Pioneers partners are the ones that even make the production of this podcast possible. So thank you so much to those of you who have subscribed. I want to encourage you to press into intimacy with God, learn to dwell in His presence, become aware of His presence, because that's the only way we can really begin to experience that one thing, that intimacy with God, that knowing Him, which is the very thing that He desires. Bless you guys. Thank you.